I always like when I get to this part of these sermons, I like to go through the partners. I don't make these difficult. These should be fairly simple for you, but we'll put the pictures up and you can tell me who's the other half. If it's Abbott and Costello, okay. Lewis and Clark, good. Peanut butter and jelly. Kermit and Miss Piggy, yep, Miss Piggy. R2-D2 and C-3PO. And then the last one, Mario and Luigi. Yep, very good. Mario and Luigi. And this is what I laughed at. When I was looking for famous pairs, there was a site that had like 100 famous pairs. And pairs number 80 through 89 are all Taylor Swift. And so Taylor Swift and this guy, Taylor Swift and that guy, Taylor Swift and this girl. So that just made me laugh. Yeah. If you are with us last week, you know, we started a reminder of our own. We have a partnership agreement here in the church. You know? And last Sunday, we made our way down the left side. These are the commitments from the church family. So it stands to reason today. We'll switch over to the right side. Consider commitments that you can make as an individual Christian, as a disciple. The church tries to provide A, B, C, D, E. And then I agree to make efforts in these areas. Yeah. And whether you were with us or aware last week or not, I'm going to summarize the beginning portions from last week, albeit more briefly, because it's important. So if you were not last week, I encourage you to watch last week's sermon, get further explanations. We had down that left side A, B, C, D, E, which we went through those. Spiritual foundations, worship experiences, education communities, service opportunities, fun and fellowship. You know, the church is going to try to do what we can to provide those. And all of this that we have is in the ongoing effort to try to help make disciples who are making disciples. And we said last week, who or what is a disciple, a follower, a student? You know, we want to be followers, students, disciples of Jesus, right? This church, Church of Christ at Alexandria, exists to make disciples of Jesus. And this is Peter and John, and they're called before the authorities in Acts 4 to defend themselves because they healed a guy, a crippled man in chapter 3, and they say, look, it's not us, okay? We didn't do this. It's Jesus. Jesus is working through us. We represent Jesus. It is his name. Excuse me, Acts 4:12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. This is all about Jesus. Jesus is, what we have last week, Jesus is perfect. Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Jesus is able. I went to Matthew 8. Jesus and the disciples are in the boat. And the storm has kicked up, and the disciples are panicking. Jesus is sleeping. They have different attitude or response toward the storm. And they wake him up. You know, don't you care if we drown? And that's verse 27. Jesus has calmed the storm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. Jesus is Savior, 1 John 4:14, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Jesus is Lord. This is Paul speaking in Acts 20:24. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. So that's kind of a fast track summary. And if you compare the passages that I gave you as examples today with last week, they're all different. So you can add this week's to last week's slate and come up with a fuller listing, but they're all going to end in the same point because we believe wholeheartedly that Jesus is perfect. He is able, Savior, Lord. He's worthy. So and what can we do? Is there anything that we can do to make ourselves better disciples or followers? And we're trying to encourage other people to become students, followers of Jesus. That's a good thing. Anything in that's a good thing. It's worth our time. It's worth our effort. It's worth our investment. Some of the Ohio State football fans might have heard this week where Cardale Jones is coming back to head the Buckeye NIL Name, Image, and Likeness Fund. Now, that's a fund that's been headed by Brian Schottenstein, and it will be ready by the 2022 spring game. And, of course, Schottenstein said, it'll be the biggest NIL fund in the country, which I'm sure every school is saying theirs will be the biggest fund in the country. You know? And I'm not going to digress into the debate on the pros and cons of name, image, and likeness landscape, but everybody's jumping in on that across the country. Boosters, players, fans, alumni, everybody's getting on board. You know, everybody's trying to do the best that they can to get more athletes to play for their school because it's important to them. They're going to pour in the effort. That's what we want to have here. The attitude of this disciple-making process, it's worthy of all my efforts. You know, on the left side, you got the church family working to provide these sacrifices, building collective. Church needs me as an individual over here on the right side to go out and help spread the word. You know, where can we go make disciples? We often have Matthew 28, 19 to 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. So for most Christians, a lot of Christians, this disciple-making effort, it can start in your own house. Leading my family, that's where I start. Timothy in the New Testament, he's very instrumental in helping Paul spread the gospel. Where did he learn it? He learned it from home. He got it from his mom. He got it from his grandma. 1 Timothy 2:15. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. You can influence your family for good. The reverse, sadly, can be true. 2 Chronicles 22:2. Ahaziah was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 1 year. His mother's name was Athaliah, a granddaughter of Omri. He too walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother encouraged him in doing wrong. One of the most important places for me to be a disciple is around my own family. I want to try to make disciples in my own household. And leading your family, this can be for any member of the family. You don't have to be the dad. You don't have to be the parent. You can be the kid or the grandkid and lead the family. Most people in this church know the last name Kaiser. You're familiar with the idea that we are now in our third generation of Kaisers who have worked with, led, blessed this congregation. It's been decades. Where did the Kaiser clan meet Jesus? You would go all the way back to where now, if I may, Grandpa Wayne, his little sister, Jill, went to VBS. I was a little kid. And led the family from there. And look what's the result. You know, discipling at home, that's not always automatic. That's not always easy. People who I'm around the most, they see me fail the most and fall down the most. That can be a challenge. But if and when you have anybody in your family, your household, that's not a disciple, that's my first ministry. That's my first mission field. I want to speak. I want to act. Live, forgive, conduct myself in a way that I model Jesus to my family. Be individual disciples. I'm capable. I can actually empower missions around the globe. Right? And our church, you see out on the board, you get in the newsletters. Our church has several missionary families and missions and programs that we support. Where's that money come from? Mike was kind of alluding to it. From the individuals, from the disciples. Matthew 28, we had on verse 19 I read earlier. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. That's what we're trying to make disciples all around the world. And you're supporting that when you're giving money for the missionaries. When we go and visit, do a work team or visit one of the fields. When you're sending an email or a card or praying. You know? And I want to, this is a little different, but I want to show you an image that kind of actually made me embarrassed. We have this new tool our churches have. If you're away and you want to find a Church of Christ, a Christian church where you are, go to this link, crosslink.org. Up there on the top, that's the site, crosslink.org. It's very short. And what they have provided then is a database of all the churches. And you click on the red button, type in the address, the city, the town where you go. So when I typed in 43001 into this search bar, that's what I got. Okay, and I know that's small for you, but we are the very first one. Church of Christ Alexandria, all that's accurate, 1.1 mile. Tri-Village Christian Church is the next one that they listed. That's exactly right. They're right down the road. But can you see all that? That's not a heart. Those are the red pins. Every one of those red pins represents one of our churches. Church of Christ Christian Church. It gets a little better as it's zoomed in. When I zoomed in on it, you can see them kind of spread out there a little bit. But I'm just making the point that those are all of our churches. It's just in this county alone. And there are countries that have few to none. You know, this is Paul speaking in Romans 15:20. But I have always tried to preach where people have never heard about Christ. I'm like a builder who doesn't build on anyone else's foundation. And I'm offering this especially to the younger disciples. If you're listening to this, remember this pile of red pins in our state. And there are places around the world that have still never heard of Jesus. And if you want to go and tell people what we know the scriptures teaches about Jesus, I'll support you in that. I know Denise will. I'm sure the church will. One person. One person can create a huge change. Most of us know Lazarus Fish as one person, and he's a tiny person. But he has huge change. There have been hundreds of students who have been influenced by his teaching. They have thousands of disciples. The ripples of the influence of one, whether it's a seminary or a music online program, China border training, conferences, relief trips. We've offered the Myanmar, the seminary building, the project that they're trying to build. That's a way that you or I as an individual can help support. I put some pages out on the table out there if you wanted to physically help build a seminary building that is 8,550 miles from here. That's the opportunity. The big yellow container box out in the parking lot, that's a viable option for you to influence the globe with your own sweat in the parking lot. Obviously, we had to pause that effort because all the other partnering churches backed out, but we're still committed to that. And these are some of the images from the latest plans we have from Lifeline. We can take our container and turn it into the other half of a classroom for some kids down in Haiti. One church has already made one half. These are their images. They're waiting on someone to do the other half. And maybe this is a good one. Maybe you say, I don't have a lot of money. But you have the talent. Or you have the tools. You could be teaching kids in Haiti about Jesus when you're physically hammering and grinding and cutting in the church parking lot. Every month, Sherry Nunez sends us a very detailed letter of her efforts in Mexico to teach and disciple. She's literally driving people from A to B. I'm going to ask that you just pray specifically for Sherry this week. You are empowering missions around the world as an individual. C is to influence this local community. We're striving on the one hand, you're striving to reach people all around the globe. And on the other hand, right here in our own backyard. Alexandria, St. Albans, like Mike alluded to, soon to be New Albany, I guess is how this is all going to go down. And, you know, the reports, the annexation, I got the same image of the coming plant. It's not right next door now, but it does mention our own school district does come up in the articles, you know, that part of that land is in Northridge School District and Johnstown. How do I influence next door? You know, when you are giving to support the recent drive we had, like the Kentucky tornado aid, and we had these little bottles all over town, I'm able to send a note that I sent this week to the community. It said, hey, Alexandria and St. Albans, thanks for your help. Together, we sent $2,557.04 to a church in Kentucky And the community appreciates being a part of that, and they see that same logo that we're putting all over the walls here, and it's a connection. You know? When we're able to have things like the carnivals that we had in the school, working in the parades to try to feed people breakfast or lunch. All those years when we've entered a float, somebody can, there's some little girls in the middle of that float from way back. You know, we've done it for a long time. Sometimes we win best float, sometimes we don't. But we like to be a part. You know? And maybe you saw, I'll give you a screenshot from a shout out from a community member to us, you know, that just says, to the Alexandria Church of Christ for providing the community with a clean and warm place for our voters. You guys do so much for the community over and above this and deserve the recognition. Thanks for all you do. Liked by 95 different people in the community. We know right now, not everybody's always going to be so fond of everything we do. They're not going to be equally happy with some of our positions. But the awareness in the community is growing. You know, when we're using the building like we are, whether it's the Trail Life Group or the homeschool or the Buckeyes or the voting, you know, when we make these efforts, and every time we do, we want to be top-notch, well-written, stick to the promise, stay on the timeline. You know, that's all part of putting our best foot forward in the local community. We serve Jesus. He's worthy of our best. You might remember the Acts 5 situation with Ananias and Sapphira. Remember those two people? And scripture records the same response when both he and she are struck dead by the Holy Spirit for lying. And it says, great fear seized everybody who heard this. You know, they sold a field. Remember the story? And they brought the proceeds to the church and they were free to give whatever percentage they wanted. But they lied and said, this is all the money, when it really wasn't. And God, the Holy Spirit, made a hard example out of them. And what effect did that have on the neighbors? That created a community presence that's described like this. Acts 5:12. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. And all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. No one else. There were some people who said, be careful that, especially if you're going to be hypocritical, like Ananias and Sapphira. And what happens? The very next verse, Acts 5:14, what does it say? Nevertheless, people believed in the Lord. People were added to the church. What do you see there in that Acts 5:12, 13? That's a healthy respect for the community of God and faithful people. And the neighborhood news, like, those people don't take this lightly. They're serious. Well, you kind of want to get there to some degree. You want the neighbors to have a respectful awareness. Those people are serious about their faith. And I'll explain, let me say, as a church body today, in 2022, we target this local community because that's where this building is physically sitting right now. You know, when we talk about Alexandria or St. Albans or Northridge, that's because the building is here. If the building was physically in Johnstown, then we would do these things through the Johnstown area and have collections up there in the Johnstown. If it was in Hebron, we would go through Lakewood. You know, collectively, you have to start somewhere as a body. You know? And this is the great part of it. You individually don't have to wait for us as a church collectively to be engaged in your local community, right? You don't have to wait for us. I'm willing to bet that whatever local community you live in, they need coaches right now, whether it's winter that's going right now or certainly for spring stuff. I have never met a drama department that didn't need help doing sets and costumes and such. There are opportunities. I know people that work in the band boosters, the choir, drama. There are gardening clubs. You can take a civic leadership position. You know, how are you going to influence your community? You know, D is to impact my workplace. Of the five, this is probably the most uphill for some of us. You probably feel outnumbered at work. Even if you're the boss or the owner, sometimes you can't say and do what you would like to do. You know, that work's probably a place where you could very likely come right alongside somebody who's really hurting. You talk about one-on-one discipleship, it's at work. Here's a couple of work examples, kind of. Acts 12:6. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. And my professor, Gareth Reese, he said, yeah, Peter's got one arm chained to the arm of one guard, and he's got the other arm chained to the arm of the other guard. So who is stuck there? The soldiers. They can't get away from this guy. You know, you're literally chained to somebody who's going to be talking about Jesus. Paul did the same thing. How many times is he imprisoned or under house arrest? And he's talking, Philemon 10, talking about a runaway slave. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. We all know if Joe Haley were still here with us, he would tell you about when he spent some days in jail as a result of a hunting accident. He did the same thing. He said, I told a lot of people about Jesus because those guys couldn't get away from me. They had nowhere else to go. How can I impact at work? Your words are key. Craig often uses Psalm 19:14 from Joe. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord. My rock and my... How do you talk at work? How do you talk about your spouse at work or your kids? How do you talk about the boss or your coworkers? How might those choices of words impact these people and make them more or less interested in what I say about Jesus? How do I impact people at work? How do I do my job? January 2014, we're talking about snowstorm maybe. This, remember January 2014 when the snowstorm struck parts of Alabama. Okay, so immediately everything shut down because their roads are populated. It says ill-equipped, inexperienced drivers. And they're all stuck on the highway. This is Mark Meadows, who owned the Chick-fil-A near I-280. And he closed early and sent all the workers home. And they all came right back to the store. They said, we can't get anywhere. Everybody's all gummed up on the roads. People have been outside our store for 7 hours. So he went back in. They fired up the kitchen. They started making chicken sandwiches and handed out hundreds of chicken sandwiches up and down both sides of I-280. And people kept trying to pay him. He's like, don't worry about that. And they did that for I don't know how long. And it says, this is Audrey Pitt, their manager. We were just trying to follow the model that we've all worked under for so long and the model that we've come to love. There was really nothing else we could have done but try to help people any way we could. They pushed cars off the road. They tried to push people up the inclines. They opened up the restaurant all night, kept it heated. People got out of their cars and came and slept in the chairs and the booths and the benches at Chick-fil-A all night long. And then when breakfast time came, they fired up again, and it was chicken and biscuits. As one source put it, Meadows and his staff lived up to the words Jesus spoke in Matthew 25:35, which states, for I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. How can I influence at work? And then the last one is serving here in the local church body. And we gave you all the ministry offers last week. You can go through that video and see now we need volunteers for those. And how many people does it take? How many people does it take to put together a service, even on a COVID decimated Sunday? You know, got to have a sermon, a couple of meditations, several songs, piano, lights, sound, video, communion preparation, nursery, children's church, clean the whole thing up. How much am I forgetting? You know, how many people does it take just for today? Well, how can I help? And I want to give you a passage from the Old Testament. You probably haven't heard this much in correlation to serving in the church, but it's Judges 5. And Judges 5 is called the Song of Deborah. And it's a victory song because the people of Israel have gotten together and the tribes have gone to battle together and they've been victorious. It's a good day for the tribes, some of them. When you read Judges 5, you get down to like verse 11, 12, 13, it's kind of the call to arms. Ephraim, are you going to come? Yes, Ephraim's first. We'll be there. We're fighting. We're going. We're geared. We're ready. Benjamin, we're on board. Manasseh tribe, we're going to be there. Zebulun, Issachar, yes, 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 yes. They're all in battle. They all go together. Then about verse 15, you get to the tribe of Reuben where the text says, there was much searching of heart. And in the end, Reuben said, no, we're going to stay home and sit around the fire and watch the sheep. So they kept going a little farther. Gad, no, we'd have to cross a river. That's too much work. Dan, tribe of Dan, we got ships to build up here. Can't help you. How about the tribe of Asher? No, we're just hanging out on the beach. Literally, yes. We live at the beach and we're not coming down. You know. Five, yes. Four, no. This was the statement. The attitude demonstrated by those four tribes can be spiritually toxic to a healthy community. When self-interest dominates an individual or a group within the larger congregation, vital resources are withheld from the church. Service should not be determined by personal relevance to the individual. Being part of the church demands thinking at the community level. Now, have I felt that 5 verses 4 tension here? No, I haven't. But I think you have to guard against it because it could happen. You know, especially in this day and age, because we're all able to, you can use technology and do things your own. Do whatever you want. You know, I'll do this ministry. I'll be here. I'll have this. I'll say that. Lone Ranger Christian. You still need this. You still need community level thinking. How can I help my local church family, even if it's not personally relevant to me or my physical neighborhood at the moment? I will give you this whole disciples making disciples thing is work. This is mostly work. We're just asking you to work all the time. I get it. I know it. Because what did I say? If you go out to work, or however you do your work during the day, try to do that all day long and influence people for Christ at work. And then come home, and before you actually go home, stop in the community and volunteer your time there and your effort and teach and coach and help in the community and do all that. And then when you're done with all that, then you can come home and collapse on the couch and try to influence your whole family the rest of the night. You know, it's pretty much just a 24/7 invitation. You know, this is not for the faint of heart. I will trust that you agree that what's being offered by Jesus is worth the sacrifice. What's at stake is eternal. It's significant. I don't want either one of these sermons to sound negative. They're not meant to be. I'm grateful for strides that have been made. There'll be an annual appeal just to keep doing what we're doing. There are always things that can be improved. Hopefully there's always things we can applaud. No, we continue to pray that our church family is going to be made up of disciples of Jesus who want to make other disciples of Jesus. Let's pray about that as we close. Heavenly Father, thank you for all those folks who have poured into us, present and past. Thank you for those who have been a blessing in our family, if we have that luxury. Father, thank you for those who have reached out to us, whether it's in our community or our workplace, however we first came in contact with the faith. May we be the next generation, the next link in the chain. Father, that we would be willing to invite and encourage and challenge others to become your disciples. Thank you for being our perfect Savior. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.